Port Adelaide running out big winners and convincing on the scoreboard in the end. I'm sure Dom Cassis will have a bit to say about the actual game plan itself and how that pans out as they head into a big game next week. And we're about to take it down to ground level thanks to our good friends at Fox Footy and Mark Rusciutto having a chat with Port Adelaide captain Tommy Jonas, standing by to be able to take you down to ground level now. Port Adelaide running out winners by 49 points. Let's head down.
Yeah, similar conditions to last week. We got touched up, so we had a point to prove, and it was perfect coming into a showdown because they're always fierce, contested battles, and just hats off to the boys. They were up for the fight.
The Crows got the ball in there in the second and third quarter, but yourself, Tommy Cleary and Alia were just fantastic back there.
Tommy was just unreal today. He did a big job on the Texan who's been in form, and he just did it so well, and he had a bit of help from the mids. They made sure there was plenty of pressure on it. Just a great team performance all around.
And Charlie Dixon looked like he was the only player with Grippo up in the forward line.
Yeah, he's a bit grumpy this week, Big Mick, and he came out and he had a point to prove, and geez, did he do that. He was unbelievable, and he just brought his little fellas into it as well.
And the old fella, Trevor Yabogi, just keeps on keeping on.
Him and Robbie just circle these dates in the calendar every year and they just come to play.
All right, get over and enjoy the showdown win. Well done, Skipper.
There he is, Tommy Jonas. Thanks to Mark Rusciutto and our good friends there at Fox Footy. Port Adelaide running out big winners.
Boys, with everyone shaking hands, I've just seen a lot of the Port Adelaide fellas go over to Murphy and just pat him on the head and say, look, I hope you're all right and whatever. So
we're talking about the showdown contest. He went back with an enormous amount of courage and got the spoil in. Yep. And it was a huge collision, but his leg copped the brunt of the injury. So fingers crossed for that one. It's not as severe as it looked.
Yeah. Who's your favourite for the medal?
God, you can throw.
Who's voting for it? Are you voting for it?
No. It'd have to be Eamon or Boke, someone like that, I would have thought.
Let's head down to ground level for the presentations.
By Warren Treadray from 5AA, Rod Jamieson from ABC Grandstand, Cal Toomey from AFL.com.au, and Matt Turner from the Advertiser. To present the Showdown Medal awarded to the best player on field is Riley Draper, who has been helped by Variety, the children's charity. And the winner of the Showdown Medal from the Port Adelaide Football Club, and for the third time, Travis Boke.
Well, Trav Boke comes out back into the team tonight to receive his third Showdown Medal.
I said a couple of times throughout the call, I thought Seisman for the Crows was outstanding. I mean, it's rare that a team that gets beaten that badly would have the medalist, but I thought he was very, very good.
Oh, you're right, you caught it spot on. It's his best game this year, because normally he runs pretty hard at the front when things are going well, but it was good to see him dig in.
Firstly, thanks to the Crows for another fantastic battle that we got to do in front of the full house tonight, which was unbelievable. You guys were so loud again, so good to be playing in front of you all. Thanks for turning out. Last week, we come back
and fought
hard and look forward to playing in front of you again. Thank you.
There is Trav Boke, third showdown medal.
Congratulations once again to Travis Boke, showdown medalist for the third time. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I now invite Variety Chair Brenton Ramsey to present the Variety Showdown Shield to the captain of the Port Adelaide Football Club, Tom Jonas.
What were Tommy Jonas's numbers on the Red Zeds tonight, boys?
Had 16 disposals, 58 of those by a foot hit the target, 7 clearances from a defensive point of view. Oh, I should say 1 clearance, sorry. 7 contested possessions.
Yeah, very solid back there, Tommy Jonas, and always with courage as well, as he's about to get the Variety Shield.
I reckon his fellow defender got robbed there. Like Cleary had, I thought he was pretty good for the showdown medal. 11-1 percenters.
Yep, is Tommy Jonas.
Firstly, thanks to the Crows boys. Really young group, but yeah, have an absolute crack. Come a long way, so good luck for the rest of the year. Our boys bounced back after last week. Copped a bit of shit, but came out and played our style of footy, so can't wait for the rest of the year. And to all of you out there, it's great to have a full house, and geez, you blokes make a difference, so thanks again.
There he is, Port skipper, Tommy Jonas. Now, Triple M Amy review as Port Adelaide run out winners by 49 points. Amy, who covers Clangers? Amy does. Lucky, you're with Amy. We've got Dom Cassisi and Rhett Biglands looking back on this this big clash. So what's your initial thoughts post-game, boys?
The difference in the scoreboard, I mean, 49-point win didn't really feel like Port with that dominance over the course of the game. So whether that's a positive for Port Adelaide or not, I'm not too sure. But it was just a bit of a scrappy game. The Crows, you can't ask for much more. I mean, they had, in the first 20 minutes of the game, they had two players out, which is going to make it hard for a young team to start off with anyway.
Four of the Crows, five goals were as a result of set shots. They just didn't have another avenue, whether it be a crumbing forward. Jimmy Rowe played pretty well, but still didn't get enough looks at it. So they were basically just set build-up plays from a set shot at goal. Whereas conversely, Port Adelaide, I think the reason why you thought they weren't dominating as much as the scoreboard reflected was just their wastefulness going inside forward 50, because let's face it, they had a stack of the footy but weren't really efficient, which is what they're going
to... Let's take it out into the rooms. Getting a look at the Harvey Norman replay here, and can you believe this? Port Adelaide have come out post-game in the Prison Bar Guernsey, Dom, to sing the club song. Tell me about this.
Oh, well, obviously they were going to keep something up their sleeve, weren't they, to try and rub a bit of salt in the wounds of Eddie and the Collingwood people. But obviously it was more about, you know, showing the history of the footy club. And
wasn't the Prison Bars? I thought it was the Collingwood Guernsey. Wasn't it Collingwood?
And the state clash. So, look, I reckon good on the marketing team at Port Adelaide. There's nothing wrong with that. Probably a bit of something to talk about post-game.
Someone's done their research, haven't they, Dits? And they've realised once you cross the field, you can't get fined or lose
football. I hope so. Private property, mate. We're in private property.
I hope so. The old Yatla prison bars have come out.
But you reckon the AFL have anything to say about that or what?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't have thought so. I think the club would have done their due diligence on it. I don't know whether that would.
My understanding is that the AFL signs off on every single thing you wear. So when you were a player at Port Adelaide, even your training gear, it's got to be approved because, you know, it's seen on TV at night and news services. It's in the papers. Do you know what I mean? So you can't actually just go out and wear whatever you like. The AFL license everything. So therefore, they would own that moment in, like, that is under AFL jurisdiction. So either what Biggles is pointing to, the club has got permission to do it, or they've just said, bugger it, we'll do it anyway. Will they be fined? You know, it remains to be seen, but good on them. Hey, Dom, I went down to the club during the week to buy my Guernsey, because my old one doesn't fit me, so I bought a new one.
What's happened?
And they were running out the door. People have... So they've actually, I think marketing-wise, they've made a dollar in the last week or so. They've sold so many of these Guerneys.
It goes to show you how passionate the supporters are about it, you know, about the history of the footy club. So I think, you know, if anything, every club's trying to engage with their supporters. And, you know, I think Port Adelaide, the game day experience that they present to their supporters is pretty much unparalleled, I reckon. And then they've done something small there post-game, which pays homage to the history of the footy club.
Well, I'm sure it'll stir a bit up, no doubt about it, through the week. Port Adelaide running out winners by 49 points. What about the Crows, their game tonight? So they were undermanned early. They lost a couple. They were down by 20 points early on in the game, and they were sort of hanging in when Port Adelaide had all the footy. But how do you describe their game tonight?
One thing, I guess Nixie's as a coach, you can't question. I don't think you can question his players' intent or their effort tonight. I thought they all tried their best. Two players down early in the game. It's round eight. Their young list is going to get tired. And at the end of the day, their midfield is not quite up to AFL standard yet. And that's just the brutal reality of it. They're redeveloping. And their midfielders are, in my opinion, they're too small against their opposition. So they've got some work to do, but you can't question their effort. And they put up a good fight.
You're right. When you're looking at the class of the opposition as well, you've got stars in there rolling through the Port Adelaide midfield. So we've still got players who are coming into that centre bounce for Adelaide, learning their craft, and they're still experimenting with Fogarty, who spent a lot of time in there today. Laird's always, well, he's class, but Brodie Smith did not get a look in there tonight, and of course Sloaney coming back after a month out of footy was always just going to find his feet, but performed very well with 20 touches.
Gee, Seedsman, as Ditz touched on through the call, was outstanding, wasn't he? How many metres gained did he end up with the Red Z lending stats?
Yeah, 817 metres gained. So, you know, that's massive for him. So, you know, but, you know, look at the other depth of their midfield. You know, they've got They've got Fogarty going in there, who only had probably two or three disposals in the first half. They've got a young player, who else they got in there? Barry.
Schoenberg as well.
Yeah, Barry and Schoenberg are trying to learn their craft, but Barry had seven disposals. So if you look at that, they're already two or three midfielders down. Barry was tagging Boak. Boak has 28, gets best on ground. Barry has six. So that's just part of them redeveloping.
And they've got a dominant ruckman.
Yeah.
I mean, Lysette was up, did a good job tonight, but most weeks, Riley O'Brien is the best ruckman on the ground.
He did, yeah, he had a bit of a flat spot tonight, disposal-wise, didn't get a lot of it, and he sits out to advantage. That's the strength of Port's midfield, I think. They can adjust when they are getting beaten in the air. So the problem against Nick Nat was that they were too offensive, and they were realising they were getting rolled in that category. They've now got a little bit of a system where if they're getting beaten by the hand of another ruckman, to read the opposition ruckman's hand and get on it that way. That's Ollie Wines' progression. He's improved out of sight with his defensive coverage.
Well, they've got a big few weeks of Crows because on the back of this, they've got to go and play the Eagles in Perth. It's not an easy game. Then they've got Melbourne, who are unbeaten at the moment. And then they've got Richmond at the MCG. So they've got a tough month of football.
So the Melbourne game is here?
It is. Yeah, here in Adelaide.
Yeah, it's got to be solid for them. And, we're sitting here now talking about their midfield, but interestingly, Port Adelaide kicked 9 goals, 12 on the back of the Crows' turnovers. So, they're going to... As the season progresses and they get more tired, they're going to turn the footy over a bit more. So, they have got a big month ahead of them and they've got to just keep trying to find a way to keep their young players up and about.
So, Matty Nixon, in the week sort of leading up to the Eagles game, you said he can't question their effort or their intensity or their energy. So, what does he do? How do you coach, I guess, when you don't have the players that you need? How do you get them up to be able to compete?
They've got to get belief in their skills because under the heat of the game, they've got some talented, skillful players who are missing targets tonight. Under this perceived pressure of a showdown going out there, and yeah, there is heat and there's extra pressure, but their skills need to be sharpened up under pressure. That's just continual training. Drill it into them under pressure, hit your targets all the time and really put the heat on them to make sure they're consistently hitting those targets.
Yeah, I just think where they're at with their list, there's no quick fix. It's getting games together with the young players, giving their young guys in the midfield an opportunity. You can't, if they're going to try and redevelop, you can't have Laird, Sloan, Smith starting the centre bounce. You're going to have to take some risk. You're going to have a bit of pain on the back of that, but it's the only way you're going to grow the list and get players to improve.
What do you think about Fogarty playing through there for Adelaide? Do you think that's something they persist with? Or you made a mention that early on tonight he hadn't seen a lot of it.
I think it's a bit of a long bow to draw with him going in the midfield. I mean, what's required of a midfielder in the modern footy? I don't know if he's got the physical capacity to do it. It's a brutal game in the midfield. It's aerobic based. And you need to be strong, but you need to be aerobic. And the best midfielders work hard really both ways. And if you watch the midfield really closely when Darcy's in there, once it's out of that contest, every other midfielder's spread and gone, and he's trying his best, but he just hasn't got the ability to do it at this stage. So whether he can keep growing his motor to be in there and have that impact will remain to be seen. But, I hope he can find somewhere on the ground to play and really dominate, because I like the way he goes about it.
They might be making a call on him. They might be making a call contract-wise. About, okay, well, he can't play forward. He's not consistent enough at forward. Can he play midfield? Do we need to make a call on him moving forward as a club? Like, is there anyone else interested in him? I mean, he's still only 21. But it's a ruthless business, the way they look at him and think, okay, well, he's not performing up forward. Can he play midfield? No. Well, there's no spot in our team for him. Is there a spot on the list?
Yeah.
They need a definitive answer.
They need their first-round picks to try and get going. I mean, Fogarty was a first-rounder from memory. I mean, Chase Jones, I don't know where he's at the moment.
Yeah, 27 disposals today, Chase Jones, the midfield. Jackson Hatley had 26. So there's your midfield options in the showdown, which they got rolled by Port Adelaide there, or 10-odd points, I think it was. And Jared Lean, it was the highest disposal getter for Port Adelaide with 28.
Dom, just looking at Port Adelaide as the season unfolds, when people talk about premierships or, is it their premiership window, are they a chance, all those sorts of things, teams that win flags, we know, have a lot of luck with injury, don't they? Mm. They're basically injury-free, might cop one or two, but Port Adelaide is just starting to grow a little bit, the injury list.
Yeah, it is.
I know it's probably at the right time of the year, but you've got to keep winning games, and if Lysette gets suspended after tonight, if Rosie gets looked at, Houston now with his shoulder. That's twice in 3 weeks with Houston's shoulder. Yeah. There must be a problem there. They've already lost Dersma, Butters. Bokey missed last week. Don't know. They need to have all of these players firing.
Yeah, you're right. And I think, and Port Adelaide, they do need their best players out there for them to push for a premiership. If you think back to Richmond last year, the year before, they've created a dynasty, but they had injuries during the year. they banked wins, but then they came back and they were able to play their best footy. I don't think Port Adelaide's list has got that maturity in it yet. They need their best players out there, they need continuity. So if they were to get another injury or two or a couple of suspensions, and they're starting to bat really thin with their list, and then, you know, it's hard to get everyone back playing the same brand of footy.
It's our Triple M Amy review. Who covers Clangers? Amy does. Lucky, you're with Amy. What about Port Adelaide's game style, Dom? How do they get back to playing what was their blueprint? Because we saw them absolutely poleaxed against Brisbane last week, and we saw a game style that was totally unfamiliar tonight. You called it a few times. There was no movement through the middle. There was no quick play on. I think it was maybe the last quarter that there was a play on handball from a marker. Tell me about how you changed that around in a few weeks.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it just looked and felt different tonight in the last few weeks. Like, you know, and quite often when Porto had the footy on the back flank tonight and it was slow play, they just look down the line and kick it long to a contest. And that's a really boring way to play, and it's hard to score. And you're going inside forward 50 really slow, playing that way, and it's easy for the opposition to get back down. You're just trying to have quick shots at goal, and that's why you end up with 12 goals, 15. The Port Adelaide that we knew, they went on the halfback flank. The first thing they were looking to do was a short kick through the corridor, get handball receive off it, switch the play, get the opposition defence moving, get it inside 50 quick, and you get their small guys in the forward line that are damaging with pace to hit the scoreboard. Now, that's gone. For some reason, that tonight, the boys weren't even looking there. So I don't know whether it's an instruction from the coaches or whether they're starting to go in their shell a bit because they've got a few injuries, but they're not going to go out next week against the Bulldogs and win that game playing a safe brand of footy like that.
No doubt about it. Port Adelaide running out big winners here tonight over the Crows, but the Bulldogs next week is a big match. And then they've got Collingwood and Frio in the next few weeks. We are standing by to take you down into the Port Adelaide rooms and catching up with one of their players tonight. Kenny Hinckley, post-game, Dom. What does he do in these sort of scenarios, post-match in a showdown?
Oh, look, I think he'll be pretty positive. You know, banking them. At the end of the day, he got the 4 points, and it was quite a dominant, you know, 49 points. But I think he'd be still feeling the fact that, you know, the Port Adelaide brand was not there again tonight. So they've got some work to do, but you take the points and you try and move on.
Does he keep playing with Marshall, Georgiades, Dixon?
Well, look, I think they all had a bit of an impact on the scoreboard tonight. You know, like Dixon kicked two, Georgiades kicked two, and I think Toddy Marshall kicked three. So they've got a seven of their 12 goals came from their tall forwards. So you think that's a decent return. But, yeah, you know, just the connection between the midfield and the forwards was not quite there.
You'd think that Riley Bonner would probably be the man to come in for Houston. He kicked two and had 26 in that showdown. And then, of course, Peter Adams would be in for the ruckman in Lycett. But I don't think you'd change that forward line. I think there's enough talent there to be able to work with it. But it's a big game up against the Bulldogs because they have players who love to sag off. And if you're not going effectively inside forward 50, then they can really rebound from there. So
Easton Wood takes about 20 marks.
Yeah, he does. He does. He'll have a field day if Port Adelaide play safe like they did tonight.
Yeah.
And Fantasia, he kicked, 1-5 tonight. So since coming to Port Adelaide, he's now 15-16. What do you made him and Alira's recruits to Port Adelaide?
Oh, look, I think Alira's added a lot. Alira's brought something to the group that they didn't have, which is that rebound and intercept mark and that pace to be able to get their ball movement going on the back of it. But, you know, Orazio's been good. I think he just probably just lacks that little bit of composure with, you know, he creates the opportunity. I mean, you have six groin shots as a small forward. It's phenomenal, but that's one, you know, if Porto are looking at areas to go to that next level, he needs to be kicking four goals too. But that's just areas of improvement for the team.
Leading goal kicker in his first year at the club's a huge positive as well. So Georgiades not far behind him. So an up-and-coming player and a new recruit leading goal kicking.
What did Rory Sloane end up with tonight, boys, coming back for the Adelaide Footy Club? He had a month off.
Yeah, 20 touches and 10 tackles. Got belted in the eye as well, came off, and they assessed that. Now, this is after having a detached retina. Kicked a goal, which was, you know, in the third term getting him back into it, but one goal too. So that's an A-minus for Sloaney, you would have thought. You know, he is just an absolute warrior.
How far away is Matt Crouch, Biggles, do you know?
Yeah, I'm still hearing 2 weeks, I think. Can't be certain on that, but it's only from a second-hand source, but for him to get back into it, he needs to now get a bit of touch, I think. So they might have to, as much as a star as he is, they might have to get some game time in the sandful.
Jimmy Rowe, he's an excitement machine for Adelaide in his first season. He's got a lot of exuberance, but one thing he did look tonight was clean. His possessions, when they were one take, what did he end up with on the Red Z lending stats?
Yeah, the 13 disposals, 83% efficiency by foot, 7 contested possessions. So he had 3 tackles in the forward 50, so he does provide them with something. There's no doubt about that. So, it's a tough night for the forwards. It was slippery. But like you say, a lot of players were fumbling tonight, but he did stand out with how clean he was.
There's some worry again with the injury sub. It took a long time for them to activate the injury sub. And this is, of course, after the debacle that happened with Tom Lynch.
He's now sitting at home.
Yeah.
A lot of time he drove here and, got his boots on.
We're about to head down into the Port Adelaide change rooms. And Darcy Byrne-Jones has been kind enough to join us after this big showdown win. Port Adelaide home by 49 points. Darcy, welcome, mate, to Triple M Footy. Here's your former skipper, Dom Cassisi.
Darcy, good win tonight, mate. You get the points and move on. One thing we've spoken about tonight was just the ball movement looked a bit different from Port Adelaide. It looked like that, the Port Adelaide of old have gone through the corridor and taken the game on and challenging the opposition with the ball movement sort of disappeared a little bit. Is that something that you guys discussed?
A little bit, Dom. Yeah, we sort of had a real emphasis going into the game on defending hard, tackling hard, winning contested ball, and then our offense had come off that. Because we've sort of gone away from that probably in the last few weeks. We'd won a couple of games, but then obviously last week we got a reality check. And so our focus was to get back winning the contested stuff, and then our offense comes off that. So, that was our focus going into the game, and I think we were able to really execute that pretty well.
Your back six was pretty solid down back. Your skipper, of course, Tom Cleary with his one percenters up against Taylor Walker, but then some run and drive as well from Alia. It's almost like down there with the amount of ball that was coming at you, it was really unflappable.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, look, we us back seven are pretty tight knit, and we're pretty flat that Tommy Cleary didn't win the medal actually, but
yeah,
felt like we played the game on our terms, and we're able to win contests in the air, and the way Clubs have played on Tex, who's been in excellent form, was a real testament to him.
Just talking about a couple of the injuries, I was just talking to Dom Cassisi about it on air then, that it's a little bit of a worry, isn't it? Teams that go on to win flags usually get through sort of unscathed. I'm just wondering, have you had a report back about Dan Houston as yet? He's gone off for the second time in the last few weeks with a shoulder problem, and he's going to be such an important player.
Yeah, look, not too sure what Dan's done, but I guess if you get subbed out, it's probably not a great sign. But I'm sure he'll have scans early in the week, and we'll assess from there. But we've got the depth to cover him for now, but hopefully he can get back to 100% sooner rather than later.
Yep, for sure. Just tell us, how difficult was it out there tonight? I mean, we didn't have the rain that we expected, but gee, it looked slippery at times.
Yeah, it was quite wet underfoot, and obviously with the curtain raiser beforehand, the ground was a little bit chopped up, so it just made that touch bit slippery. So the conditions were kind of like a wet weather game in a way. The team that was able to surge the ball forward and run forward off that was the one that tended to kick goals.
Where did you find out you were going to whack the prison bars on for the song? Did they tell you that yesterday?
No, I actually found out as we were walking down the race. I think they didn't want to spoil it before the game in case we didn't get the job done. So it was a great touch to be able to put that on. We're really proud of the prison bar heritage, and it's something that we're really looking forward to hopefully wearing again one day.
And if there's a fine, mate, you boys are going to throw the hat in the ring and chip in, or handball that one to Koshy, or what
happens
there?
Yeah, mate. Well, there's a few blokes that probably wouldn't if you tied us.
Yeah, if you got that lunch money from your rate still.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Darcy, mate, well done. It was a big win. You got a big game as well next week against the Bulldogs. Enjoy this one. Well done.
Thanks, boys. Cheers. Have me on.
All the best, mate.
Darcy Byrne-Jones, Port Adelaide running out big winners by 49 points. Interesting to hear one of their key focuses was to strongly defend and to tackle hard. Now, they tackled hard, and a couple of boys are going to be in a bit of trouble for dangerous tackling on Scotty Lysett and also Connor Rosie with a couple of sling tackles.
Yeah, that's what happens in AFL footy. You, Biggles, you remember when the coach would come and have a focus area, and then you put all your eggs in that basket and you forget about the 20 other things you're supposed to do. So, Port Adelaide, the players definitely listen to Kenny, but you know, you can sort of overdo it a little bit. So they'll be looked at closely.
Well, they needed to react after last week, didn't they?
They had to. They had to come out and make a statement after last week for sure.
It's a good loss. It should use that one at the tribunal. Coach told me to.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Mate, being a ruckman, you never know. You might.
You get a bit of leeway there, Dom. Yeah. Grab 24 chicken McNuggets for $9.95 in Macca's loose change menu. Might just fly around the grounds before we get the votes. The Demons, they remain undefeated after a big win tonight, as far as continuing to win, not margin-wise, only 9 points it was over the Swans. Earlier, of course, the Pies, they chalked up their second win of the year over the Kangaroos, and the Giants home by 2 points over the Bombers, Saints by 9 points over the Suns. Okay, let's get the awards. The Triple MVP Award for Mungrel Boots. Mungrel Boots, comfy boots built for long days on site. Our leaderboard had Ollie Wines on 12 votes going into this round, with David Mundy on 11 votes. Tex Walker and Sam Walsh are on 9 votes. So who's got the votes tonight, boys?
Yeah, I've got the honours tonight.
So hey, how did we get snubbed for the showdown medal voting as well? Ditch, you've got enough power in the city.
No, definitely not.
Well, we might raise that with the powers that be.
Yeah.
Chase it up, mate. You're back to us on that one.
You wouldn't have changed the medalist, would you?
Yeah, Cleary would have got it. Should have.
Cleary.
Yeah.
It was a bit flat. Darcy Byrne-Jones, wasn't he?
Should have been.
bit flat. But the one vote, boys, for tonight, Carl Amon, 27 disposals. He was in it all, plenty of metres gained, 6 contested possessions. He's been on awesome for Port Adelaide on ball this year. 2 votes was, did score him a lot during the night and how good he was. Probably his best game for Adelaide, which is Paul Seisman. 29 disposals, 800 metres gained, 11 contested possessions, and then the 3 votes goes to the showdown medalist, Travis Boak, and he's, first game back after last week. He looked fresh, 6 clearances, 4 of them from the centre bounce, 4 inside 50s, 28 disposals.
Looking after his mates.
All-round game, so
midfielder.
Boaky, 3 votes.
There it is. Good stuff, Dom. The Triple MVP Award for Mungrel Boots. Showdown 49 and Port Adelaide run out big winners by 49 points. It was 12-15-87. The Crows were 5-8-38. And for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M rocks footy.